Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. Jim, we start with the good, and we've got some good news following one of our crazy martinis from last week when it looked like the original formula for getting the top 10 candidates at the September 16th CNN debate was going to leave Carly Fiorina off the stage, even though she's doing quite well in most national and early state polls following the first presidential debate. But CNN has now changed their formula. And apparently they've decided to turn it into a movie trailer because in the critical paragraph it starts, "In a world where we expected there to be at least 15 national polls based on historic precedent, it appears there will be only 5. As a result, we now believe we should adjust the criteria to ensure the next debate best reflects the most current state of the national race in the event that any candidate is polling in the top 10 in an average of approved national polls released between August 7th, which is the day after the first debate, and September 10th. We will add those candidates to our top tier debate, even if those candidates did not poll in the top 10 in an average of approved national polls between July 16th and September 10th. We've discussed these changes with the Republican National Committee and the Reagan Library, and they are fully supportive. So, Jim, you might have some folks saying tinkering with the rules after they've been established might not be the best idea, but when you look at the race, Carly Fiorina is clearly in the top 10 and deserves to be on the stage.
Give CNN some credit for kind of looking at the situation. I'm sure there are probably some people inside telling him, dig in your heels, you set the rules, the rules are fine as they are, you know, nobody can complain. But the rules kind of counted on there being a bunch of polling in August nationally, and there really weren't. And so in a world where there'd be a lot of polling, that would make a lot of sense. But there isn't. And so as a result of it, you had a lot of polls from July before the first debate being used to determine who was going to participate in the September debate. And, you know, as somebody who was doing very poorly in beforehand and much better after that first debate, Carly Fiorina was pointing out, why am I being punished for not having enough polls going on when the current polls show me doing better than the ones way back in July? Makes perfect sense. It's a perfectly good thing. The only thing you might want to say is that, look, now they're expanding it to 11. I enjoyed the ability to make the Ocean's 11 joke in the jolt today. You might say this is going to shrink the time for everybody. I think, you know, Christie would be the guy bumped if they had stayed with 10. I think it makes perfect sense for her to be up there. And if 11's manageable, then fine. And in a way, this might be good news if you're a fan of like Rick Perry or Bobby Jindal or somebody who's on the lower tier debate, because now they have a much better chance of kind of shining and standing out in that one, maybe getting a little attention for themselves.
On to the bad martini now, Jim. And we saw this coming. You and Rich talked about this last Friday, that it was likely to come. Mitch McConnell thinking even last week that there was no way Republicans were going to stop the Iran deal, and now it looks like they won't officially. Barbara Mikulski, the retiring longtime Democratic senator from Maryland, becoming the 34th member of the Senate, all Democrats, to say they will in fact support the president's plan, which means when this resolution to reject it passes, if it can break a filibuster, that is, the president will veto it, and he now has enough votes in the U.S. Senate to sustain the veto. So assuming every one of those 34 stays in line, that means that there's nothing Republicans can do to stop this deal from going through. Jim, in light of the polls we just talked about the other day, it's obvious that the Democrats aren't listening to the American people. I guess we can throw in one more time, attaboy Bob Corker.
This is not really surprising that 34 Democrats decided to stay with the president. It is frustrating, no doubt. But, we've seen a lot of the presidential candidates on the Republican side denounce the Iran deal. I'm kind of ready for them to start denouncing Bob Corker. I really think a lot of this is on his plate. To me, if you're making the most big, sweeping, fundamental change to U.S. foreign policy in decades as a result of a formal written agreement with Iran and a bunch of other countries, that sure as heck sounds like a treaty to me. And I don't understand why the Republicans decided, it's not a treaty. I know the Supreme Court has weighed in on this. What's turned into the Garrity plan in a development that seems to very unnerving to me because I can't believe somebody else didn't think of this already. Introduce the text of the agreement, declare it a treaty and vote it down, and at least create some sort of legal limbo as to whether this thing is really in effect. If you really believe that this deal ends in mushroom clouds, I don't understand how you don't pull out all the stops And you don't just shrug your shoulders and say, nah, oh, well, we tried, you know. Turns out we couldn't get a whole bunch of Democrats to vote against the president. Bummer. You know, you really got to fight all, you know, tooth and nail on this thing. And I just don't see – I don't understand what the Republican strategy is other than, you know, what some people have kind of, you know, dismissed as failure theater. And it's getting tougher and tougher to dismiss that.
You got to be able to throw a few elbows, particularly when you're in the majority. I mean
yes.
Yeah. Use it.
And public opinion's on your side, right? I mean, this is not supposed to be the hard fight, so –
All right, on to the crazy martini now, and this is a story that's been circulating for the past couple of days. No one's been able to actually confirm it, but no one's actually debunked it either. So this was how Fox and Friends' Elizabeth Hasselbeck described the story.
This story has been floated on the internet right now and has got people outraged. Apparently, one school had a little girl named Laura who came in with a Wonder Woman lunchbox, and they sent her home with the note that said that it was too violent and that superheroes are banned from clothing, socks, shoes, any sort of fashion pieces, backpacks, and lunch boxes, because they have, quote, as said from the school, we've established requests that the children not bring any violent images into the building.
So basically, there's a profile of Wonder Woman on one side of the lunchbox, and another one, there's an action image of her with the, I guess, lasso of Lariat or Truth, lasso of Truth. You and I are both guys. I don't know how much you followed Wonder Woman as a kid. I certainly didn't. But Jim, given all the violent images you could bring to school, I'm pretty sure that one's pretty tame.
You know, Greg, lasso-related injuries are an epidemic in our schools. Girls tying up boys, and then they can't lie. How many times? No, I salute you for recognizing that because the name of the school and the teacher are blurred out in the image posted on, I think it was originally Reddit, we don't have verification. Some your typical school administrator saying, well, we have a zero tolerance policy, and that's why we do the – it's possible this is all a hoax. What's interesting is that none of us find it unbelievably implausible right. That some school teacher would say, oh, I think superhero lunchboxes are going to turn kids into mass shooters, and thus we shouldn't allow them to, you know, like, think of this as a sneak preview to a phenomenon that listeners will get really tired of come November and December, Greg. As I write in my book, Heavy Lifting, teachers feel like they're disrespected, feel like they don't get the saluted or recognized as much as they should. And maybe that's the case. They have a tough job. But there have been enough cases of these idiot teachers and idiot administrators who suspend kids for having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich they bite into the shape of a gun, or they make their fingers in a position of a gun. Like the freak out over potential, you know, violence in schools and the adoption of these zero tolerance policies has basically come to zero thinking, right? Zero logic, zero critical assessment or anything. Like you're a teacher, right? If that case, we could literally replace you with robots, because it means the moment you see somebody doing something, you can suspend them from school. A lot of principals seem to think they're sitting on the Iron Throne, right? Like, I have decreed that, you know, your sandwich is a threat to us. Be gone with ye. And you get to cast them out of the school. And it's just this bizarre and asinine philosophy. And it's become so widespread that if this turns out to be a hoax, it'll be kind of amusing and somewhat reassuring that there's not some teacher who's on this anti-superhero lunchbox jihad. But the flip side is that we've really come to a point where we kind of come to expect this kind of just unbelievably illogical, quasi-fascistic enforcement of cultural norms from teachers. And it just, you know, the over I don't like that superhero or something like that. So, you know, maybe it's a hoax. And if you're the case, I think we should all stand up and salute you, Greg, for, you know, it not, you know, noticing a lack of detail to the story. But I think it just recognizes the fact that Americans are really losing faith in the people teaching their children.
My very first book bag in kindergarten was a Superman bag. He was the Man of Steel, but in first grade, he was not able to survive after having a banana squished in him, which I had brought for snack time, and it was just too disgusting to clean up. So
it was a kryptonite banana.
Apparently so.
Or at least it was starting to turn green. The second observation there, Greg, is, you know, when you here's the thing. Today, that Superman backpack, he must have a 7-day permit for that heat ray vision. 7-day waiting period, but people know where I was going with that.
So. Yes, exactly. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk again tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and be sure to tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.